podcast with Tech and Prem.
Vet Alumni Podcast. I'm Tech. He's Prem. Music producers talking Philly sports. And Prem, the Eagles, they sit alone on top of the NFC East after a 32-6 victory on the road in Atlanta.
You take a new head coach and quarterback combination. Whew. You put them on the road against a proven veteran quarterback.
Yep.
And you see what sticks.
I mean,
and what stuck was
an
overall dominant performance after a shaky first quarter by the defense.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah,
it didn't look good. But then you have guys like Javon Hargraves, two sacks, two tackles for loss. Looked very, very active. The linebackers really recovered well, too.
Oh, yeah. Now we have a big show this week. The return of Rob Motti on the Vet Line. We'll talk birds with him on Wednesday afternoon quarterback. And from 94 WIP, Johnny Marks will join us on the Vet Line.
I'm excited, man. It's always great to talk to Rob.
Yes.
NFL AP writer.
Absolutely.
John Marks of Marks and Reese. We love listening to Marks and
love
Reese.
Love Marks and Reese.
And, you know, we've had Jack, their producer for that show, a couple times.
Yeah, he's been on a couple times. He's a fellow Vet alum.
And what a great week to talk to these guys after a game like that.
Phenomenal. But let's start with Jalen Hurts, Prem. 27 for 35, 264 passing yards, a completion percentage of 77% with a 126.4 quarterback rating.
You know, this kid came in and basically wanted to shut everybody up that has been doubting him.
Right.
But not in like an arrogant way. He's just a handle business guy. We said this months ago. There's intangibles with Jalen Hurts that you cannot teach.
No.
You simply cannot teach poise, confidence, and execution. And he was touting that execution in his post-game comments a lot. I really love what I'm seeing and hearing from Jalen Hurts.
Yes.
Very excited about this team, man.
You mentioned that, the post-game. I'll get to that in a second. He looked tremendous. He was cool, calm, collected, very smart, high IQ decision-making, which is just a breath of fresh air.
Yeah, and on that touchdown to Goddard right before the half, I saw another view of that throw.
Oh, I watched it every single angle.
He threw him open completely.
Yes, he wasn't open. He was in double coverage.
That type of anticipation throw, that's not something that guys come into the NFL knowing how to do.
No, that's a veteran move.
It's
right
a veteran
there.
Move. It's an instinctual throw.
Yes.
Jalen Hurts has spent his whole life making those throws in his backyard and on his high school football field.
Yep.
And at Oklahoma. And we saw a perfect translation of those skills and that skill set that is the reason he was even drafted.
Yes.
And it's coming to fruition right in front of our eyes. Yes, we know Atlanta is not a great team, but that's an NFL team in their building with a proven veteran quarterback.
Another thing I love about this guy, right? You mentioned it. He goes into his post-game press conference, and instead of talking about all the plays he made, he's talking about the plays he didn't make, that they wish they could have gotten back. He's checking all the boxes for me.
He is.
All the boxes.
You know, always looking to improve, always looking to basically correct any mental mishaps that he might have had. And there was a few plays that got away from him. You know, it wasn't perfect.
No, it wasn't perfect.
But I mean, hey, when you come out and you have the highest rating for Eagles quarterback since the NFC Championship with Nick Foles a few years ago, that's an impressive day.
It's exciting, actually, to see some really good play calling from Nick Sirianni, too. Really creative, not fake creative, like last year with Peterson, we're going to get creative.
Right.
And then that's fake creativity. This was really creative stuff right from the beginning, the outset, the first three plays, those two little quick slants, those screens to Quez Watkins.
Right out the chute.
Hit him on the left, then he hit him on the right.
And those are confidence builders for a young quarterback.
Yeah.
Early in the game, let's get you going. We're going to get you going. A couple easy completions here. Lead your receiver 2 yards in front of the line of scrimmage with room to run.
Yeah.
And these guys showcased, really all of them in their own way, showcased something. Watkins, Rager had a very nice catch and run for a touchdown.
Yes, he did.
And we already know Devontae Smith. This kid is...
He's special.
He's very special. He's not going anywhere.
His first touchdown on his first catch
in
the NFL. That's phenomenal.
It really is. You can't script it any better than that.
Other than going forward on that one fourth down, instead of just taking the points on the road,
I thought
Sirianni, he pushed all the right buttons, and he really had this team prepared.
They
another
were very
breath
prepared.
Of fresh air
yes.
to see a team come out wearing midnight green and be prepared.
Preparation is key in anything you do. And Sirianni really adjusted well. The in-game adjustments were good.
Yep.
He seemed very in control. There's an in-control vibe that you get when you watch these guys on the sideline. They're young, but they're hungry. And they all seem to truly believe in each other. It's not just cliche.
Right. They've all seemed to have bought in.
They have bought in. I mean, this team rushed for 173 yards and gained 24 first downs.
Whoo!
And not to mention that you hold Matt Ryan to 136 net yards passing.
I found that to be a little surprising, but once the D-line took over in the second half, it was like, okay, this is the statue Matt Ryan I'm used to seeing.
And what did I tell you in the first quarter? I said, Matt Ryan against us kicks field goals.
Yeah.
If you go back and chart a lot of these Falcons games that Matt Ryan has played against us.
Which I hadn't done.
Their red zone proficiency against us, no matter the year, no matter the team, no matter our defensive coordinator, Matt Ryan just struggles to score touchdowns.
You said it on the first drive when it was like third and goal.
They're not getting in.
They're going to kick field goals. That's what this team does.
And what happened?
They kicked the field goal. And then on the second drive, they went all the way down. You said the same thing. And they kicked the field goal.
But I said three field goals for the day. They only got two.
Yeah, you only got two.
I expected three.
I didn't expect 32 points from this Eagles team. I really didn't. Right down to the wire.
I mean, you get your last touchdown from Rager with 4 minutes to go in the game. Just to salt it away.
Yeah.
Love it, man.
And another young guy who we love and have loved since he was drafted really looked great. Kenny Gainwell. He looked how I hoped he'd look. You know what I mean?
He looked very crisp and determined to go north-south.
Especially
on that touchdown run.
Yeah, I'm a big fan of Kenny G already.
Me too.
I looked at his tape right when we drafted him, and I thought, this kid's a steal.
Yeah, he was a steal. We talked about that on our draft recap show.
We did.
And looks like we're pretty much on the money with our takes so far.
So far, we've been right on the money.
It was a weird energy in the offseason when Sirianni was kind of getting going. I said to myself, you know what? This could possibly be something. And yes, I know that the schedule gets brutal. You got San Francisco coming in.
Tough team.
You got Tampa, Kansas City. I mean, 1-3 is possible. But at the same time, I wouldn't be panicking at that point because this team is probably going to be in those games against elite teams. They will be in all those games.
But the complexion of the season begins to change if they go 2-0 to start.
If they go 2-0 to start and then you're only looking at 2-2 at worst case after four games with as light as the back end of this schedule is, this team could be looking at 10 or 11 wins.
And that's if they go
2-0 out the chute.
It's absurd to think
that. And you know
what,
man? San Francisco, they're a better football team on paper than we are. Yes, they have a little more on the defensive side than we do.
Yeah.
But they're missing Jason Verrett is out now.
Yeah.
He's one of their better defenders, I believe, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, he's out.
In the secondary.
What, he tear his ACL?
Yeah, he's done. Now, you got Jalen Hurts now coming in with confidence in his home opener, the first full stadium since before the pandemic in Philadelphia, and you got an injured Niners secondary. This is setting up to be a letdown type of game for a Niners team that almost blew a huge lead to Detroit. They were up 41-17 in that game.
Unbelievable.
And it finished 41-33. I mean, that's not common.
No, it's
not. So, you know, San Francisco's tough. Offensively, Deebo Samuel is a nightmare.
He had a career game.
Career game, and I'll get to something special about Deebo in the Numbers Don't Lie segment as well.
Fantastic. The O-line. They look good as well. Kelsey and Mailata in particular had some unbelievable blocks.
Oh, man, the highlights
just
on those guys.
Ridiculous.
Sayamalu, too. I saw a good clip of Sayamalu giving a pancake.
He did, and you know, he...
He had a tough day, though.
Yeah, he had a tough day, but, you know, he was like the second highest graded offensive lineman
it's
of the
remarkable.
Day.
Remarkable. And on that same token, Hurts was the third highest graded quarterback.
Yeah.
By PFF, at least.
I mean... The national guys just, you know, let's never forget that
never forget.
Dan Orlovsky said this.
If Jalen Hurts plays as well as he can't sniff as good as Carson Wentz is. And that's just the reality. He cannot sniff the type of player that Carson Wentz can be and has been.
Do you believe that? That's what he said? Carson Wentz?
Dan Orlovsky, it's funny because when Carson was on the squad, I appreciated Orlovsky because I was a Carson guy. I was supporting Carson. I was like, every time Dan would talk, I'd say, you know what? He's right about Carson.
Right.
But in this case, I'm shifting to think that Jalen Hurts, because of his mental makeup.
Yeah.
Just because of his mental makeup. He has all the tools that Carson had, honestly. Maybe the only difference would be some of the arm strength questions, maybe, that people would say. That's the only thing I can think
of. That's the only thing I can think
of. Other than that.
But his arm strength looked pretty good on Sunday.
It did. And if you add the intangibles that Carson does not have, which is just true, Hurts just has that extra it factor.
Yeah.
That goes a long way on a football field,
you
man.
You said, and you said this last year, you said he's like a young Donovan McNabb, and I didn't fully see it. I saw it Sunday.
Yeah, you did.
I saw it because he was more like a quarterback and not just a runner.
Exactly, because he was breaking the pocket when he needed to, but he wasn't running first.
Yeah.
He was running when necessary to the tune of, I believe, 60-something yards.
Right.
And matter of fact, Jalen Hurts now, in just five career starts,
yeah,
now has 250 yards passing and 60 rushing yards three times. In the history of the NFL, the record is only 7 of those types of games.
Wow.
Kyler Murray already has 3 as well.
Wow.
Mike Vick, I believe, is up there as well as
my
Donovan.
Guy.
Donovan has 5 of those. 250 yards passing or more, 60 yards rushing. It's only happened, you know, by a handful of guys. No one's even done it 10 times. One guy's never done it 10 times. It's crazy.
Wow. Yeah. I was impressed with what I saw from Jalen Hurts, and I'll be very curious to hear what Rob Motti has to say when we hit up Wednesday afternoon quarterback. But first, brought to you by Proline Music. Everything for the musician. It's time for Vet Fact.
This is a Vet Fact.
Well, Tech, September 15th, 1996, exactly 25 years ago today, the Birds hosted the Detroit Lions and won 24-17 in front of 66,007 fans at the Vet.
Wow.
Ricky Waters had an 11-yard TD in the first quarter to set the tone.
There it is.
Rodney Pete went for 284 yards with a touchdown through the air and one on the ground.
Former Detroit Lion, by the way.
Yes, getting revenge against his old team.
Yep.
And the Birds survived two second-half rushing scores by one Barry Sanders.
Ah, my favorite of all time.
Up there for me, too. Top three for me. Irving Fryer added a 121 through the air and a touchdown for the Birds.
I loved Irving Fryer.
And the lone turnover on the day committed by Detroit was a major difference, giving the Eagles the 7-point win. The Birds climbed to 2-1 early in the season, a season which actually ended with an ugly 14-0 loss to the Niners in the wild card round this week's
opponent.
Wow. That's your Vet Fact, September 15th, 1996.
Let's switch over to the defense. Like we said, they were atrocious against the run in the first half.
Yeah, it was concerning.
And in the second half, you know, the D-line took over. Hargrave dominated.
Yeah.
But there are some concerns. I mean, the middle of the field seemed vulnerable early.
It did.
And I'm still seeing that bend not break approach that I'm not a big fan of.
Yeah, the defense is obviously still a work in progress. I mean, this whole team, even though they looked good, they're all a work in progress.
Yeah.
You know, so I think with the defense, it's going to come down to who do they match up well against? San Francisco's a tough opponent, but San Francisco just lost not only Jason Verrett in the secondary, but their number one back, Raheem Mostert.
Yeah, and that's a big loss.
That is a big loss. This guy is a monster when he's healthy.
Yeah.
So you got, you know, Jimmy Garoppolo, who had a pretty good day overall.
And
three sub-marginal running backs against a defensive line that's coming in confident with the home crowd behind them for the first time in 2 years.
Yeah.
And a team, I think, that is really, really close to fully believing in their ability to make the playoffs.
Yeah. I just was a little worried about the glaringness of no Rodney McLeod. Like, who's that second safety now?
I mean,
it's Marcus Epps is now out, and I don't even, to be honest, I don't really like Marcus Epps either.
Nah, me neither. I have to see a little more.
He was forced to start.
Yeah.
But when he came out, I don't know what they did today. Add an extra linebacker. I saw Patrick Johnson out there.
Yeah, Patrick Johnson got some burn. I didn't look at the snap counts for these guys, but,
yeah,
you know, it could be a problem against San Francisco. You have to hope that you get home like you did against Matt Ryan in the second half.
Right.
That offensive line for San Francisco is far superior to the Falcons, though.
Now, I would compare the second safety weakness to, you know, last year when it was like, who's the second corner? Or even in the offseason, going into this season, who's the second corner? But Rodney McLeod will be back.
He will. He will. He's working his way back. I mean, that's a veteran presence back there. You hope that he can still play at a high level at this point in his career. I'm leaning towards he can, but again, it's an unknown right now.
Yeah. All right. We're going to stay with the Birds when we hit the Vet line with Johnny Marks from the Marks and Reese Show on 94 WIP. But it's Wednesday afternoon quarterback with Rob Motti coming up next.
Broline Music.
Located at 490 Lincoln Highway in Fairless Hills, PA.
Broline Music.
Everything for the musician, carrying all major brands. You find a better price, we'll beat it. Offering lessons in person or virtual. On-site repair service center, rentals, recording studio.
Broline Music. Call 215-736-8055.
One more time.
215-736-8055.
Yes, sir.
Broline Music.
Everything for the musician.
Vet alumni.
It's my quarterback.
Back goes Hurts. He is looking. He is firing for Devontae Smith for a touchdown. The first touchdown of Devontae Smith's NFL career. First catch, first touchdown, 18 yards, and the Eagles have struck.
Welcome to the NFL, Devontae Smith.
It's Wednesday afternoon quarterback.
It's Wednesday afternoon quarterback.
We're joined now on the vet line by Rob Motti, NFL writer for the Associated Press, and of course, a vet alumnus joining the show for his third time.
Yes, sir.
Rob, thanks for joining us again.
Yo, what's up? Happy NFL season, fellas.
Yes.
Couldn't agree more. We are rather happy, man. Especially with the way the Phillies have took a turn.
Oh.
Not about them, though. This is all about the Eagles. They look together, rather crisp overall, minus the penalties, and generally had the look to me of what would be considered a good football team. So, Rob, what were three of your major takeaways from this week one blowout win against the Falcons?
Man, number one, I'd start out with Nick Sirianni. We all wanted to know what kind of coach is he going to be? What's his game plan going to look like, right? What kind of scheme is he going to have? Because we didn't see anything in the preseason, and understandably so, because you don't want to show much in the preseason. And he talked about being a guy who's going to cater his offense to the strengths of his players. And man, I saw that. That's what we saw when he went out there.
Exactly.
On Sunday. And it was an offensive scheme system that really catered to the players that he has. And to me, that was a big takeaway. He showed a lot of control of the game, of his play calling, and he was aggressive. He was a little bit overly aggressive. There was that one fourth down where I thought, right? Yeah,
take the points.
Yeah.
On the road.
Yes.
Right. What was it? A 30 at that point now? I think it was a 38 yard field goal.
Yeah,
you
it's a
gone
chip
up
shot.
12.
You would have gone up 18 to 6. Exactly.
Yeah. So, you know what? It didn't hurt him there. It didn't bite him in that game. But I hope something like that doesn't come back and bite him at some point. But it's good to see. I'd rather have an aggressive coach than one who's going to be afraid and who's not going to do that in the moment. And that shows he's got trust in his players, right?
Yeah.
So that was, for me, guys, the big takeaway. You wanted three, right? Number two, I got to say Jalen Hurts.
Absolutely.
Jalen Hurts.
Yeah.
Right? Fellas, he went out there, and I thought he was going to be a guy who I said earlier this summer that I'm willing to bet on Jalen. And some people were like, well, what did you see out of him? I said, well, what I saw out of him last year told me I want to see more.
Yep.
And I'm not saying he's the answer. I'm not saying that he's going to be the franchise quarterback for the next 10 years. But I was intrigued enough by his talent to want to see more. And I've always loved his intangibles. And when you have intangibles, right, that he has, leadership ability, poise, character, command of the offense. The team is on a whole. Everybody. It's not just talk, guys. Like, I talk to some of these players, right, one-on-one. It's not just in a news conference
thing. Yeah, exactly.
And they tell me what they say publicly is what they really believe in Jalen. So I knew he had all that. I wanted to see it translate into on the field. What's his talent look like? And there were some things he had to improve upon last year. We talk about the completion percentage. He goes out there in week one and completes 77% of his passes.
Unreal.
You can't ask,
I know.
You can't ask for more than that. Now, I'm not ready to say after one game and five starts that Jalen Hurts is going to be the future, but it certainly looks good right now.
It does.
I love what he did the other day. The rollout pass, the touchdown pass to Dallas Goedert.
It was a beautiful throw. Best throw of the day.
Fantastic.
It was so impressive. And the touch pass, the touchdown to Devontae, the touchdown off. Right? That was a beautiful thing.
A lot of quarterbacks, they underthrow that ball.
Yep.
Yeah.
Or overthrow it.
Right.
But, you know, I spoke to Rodney McLeod last week, and he was really high on Jalen and really high on Nick Sirianni. And they went out there in week one and they showed it. Asked Nick the other day, Monday, in a news conference, like, what do you guys have to do to avoid not, you know, keep bringing that energy, keep bringing that preparation, not get complacent and let down. And at the very end of a very long and thoughtful answer, because that's who Nick is and that's what he does, he said, in all honesty, it's one game and we got to go out there and do it again. So exactly. It's great.
Yep.
It was a terrific win, fellas. And it's one game, one win against a bad football team. Now, I'd rather demolish and destroy a bad football team right. than squeak out a win.
That's what
right?
you expect to do.
Yeah, you'd rather do that than squeak one out. So it's a good thing. There's very few. The only negative I take out of Sundays, too many penalties,
exactly.
and you just got to be more disciplined. That's all.
Right, and they can clean that up. It was a lot of pre-snap stuff, I think I was seeing.
Yeah.
You know, you have San Francisco coming in off a blowout W in Detroit that they almost actually blew at the end. But, Rob, the Eagles are actually 8-3 in their last 11 games versus the Niners dating back to 2002. Much different teams over that span on both sides, of course, but do you give credence to a trend like that, or you think the game is likely an Eagles loss and we'll have a different tune on Monday morning?
I don't think you take too much. It's different teams, different coaches, different schemes,
sure.
different philosophy, different players. They could be 13-0 or 0-13, and it really wouldn't matter much on Sunday
Fair.
when they're facing the 49ers. I think it's going to be a very tough test for them, and we'll know more about this team Sunday about 4:30 after the game is over than we do right now, because right now you're coming off a very convincing win over what looks like is going to be one of the worst football teams in the NFC.
It does.
And the Niners, on the other hand, that's a team. Guys, a lot of people had them being like a sleeper pick, a team that can go to the Super Bowl. And I was like, you're not even settled at quarterback. They're talking about Trey Lance and Jimmy G. How could you pick them for the Super Bowl? Well, they were impressive the other day against the Lions, but it was also the Lions.
Yeah.
So I'm not completely sold on the Niners being a Super Bowl contender, as some people out there think they may be. But that said, they are 2 years removed from a Super Bowl, and last year they were decimated. They may have been more injured. Like, we talk about the Eagles.
I know.
They may have had more injuries than the Eagles did last year.
Yeah.
Yeah. Rob, a large percentage of this fan base considered Nick Sirianni a puppet coming into this season. many still do. Has he proven that to be a false narrative?
Nah, it's too soon. It's too soon to... to really say that's false. But at the same time, I don't think it's fair to call him a puppet. I think he's a guy who he's a really solid leader. I love his presentation in news conferences, even though he was criticized for that early. But I just really think it's refreshing that he's very thoughtful and willing to dive deep into long answers and go and talk like the way he does and explain. And it's for me, it's better than a guy who goes out there and doesn't say anything. And
Belichick,
he's a
Belichick.
Right? As a journalist, as a media guy, you want them to say a lot. So
right.
We're one game into it now. What happens when it comes down to roster moves and guys being up on Sunday and how much say does the front office, Howie and Jeffrey, have? And, you know, that's where people were saying puppet from. And I understand that because that's the inclination you get when things unravel the way they did with Doug Peterson, because he wanted things his way and he was a Super Bowl winning head coach. And yeah, I think that the front office wants to have somebody in there who they can tell him what to do. But I think Nick is a really strong leader, a smart coach, and somebody who the players genuinely like and want to play for. And right now it's looking good. 1 week into, we got 16 more to go. We don't have 15. It's the biggest, the NFL calls it the longest, biggest, whatever season ever. It sure is. We got a long way to go, boys.
Rob, Kenny Gainwell, he looks really good so far. I was excited when we drafted him. His college tape is ridiculous, but we have seen that before with Donnell Pumphrey. He also had sick college tape, but he couldn't make the roster. Talk about what you've seen that makes Kenny G different?
He really had talent, man. He's got a lot of talent. He's got a lot of versatility. I love the fact that, you know, you can use him as a pass catching weapon coming out of the backfield. And he's a kid that I think is going to be the real deal. And when you see the coaching staff have enough confidence in him week one of the season to give him 35%, fellas, 35% of the snaps.
That's a heavy workload out the chute.
Right?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, Boston Scott didn't get anything. And I feel
surprising.
Boston.
Yeah,
yeah,
very surprising.
I like that dude, man. I like him a lot, and I know he's like the giant killer, but I want to see him unleashed against some other teams. But I think Kenny Gainwell is the real deal, and he's going to be somebody who, whether it's 20%, 25% of the snaps, 35%, whatever it is, you work him into the offense, and that's going to give the more flexibility, more weapons, more options, and all of that is a good thing.
Yeah, and that gives them more flexibility with the formations. I mean, I'd like to see more split back stuff coming out of the backfield, and, you know, a little more creating confusion for linebackers and things like that. So hopefully we do. Now, the tackling, though, on the other side of the ball for us was a bit of an issue early and throughout the day. But spotlighting two guys from the defense, Rob, who's a defender that you would have liked to have seen more from, and then a defender who maybe exceeded your expectations on Sunday?
Oh, man, I think Javon Hargrave, I'll start with the second part of your question.
Yeah.
He exceeded expectations. Now, I thought last year, coming off the injury early, he started to feel comfortable in the system and worked in towards the end of the season, having some big performances. And I was expecting good things, big things out of him, but I wasn't anticipating a game like he had against the Falcons on Sunday. So that certainly, to me, was one where I was like, all right, this is good to see out of Javon Hargrave, because the defensive line is the strength of that defense.
Absolutely.
And when they can dominate, right, the way they did, that's a great thing. And as far as the other part of your question is, like, who do I want to see more out of defensively?
Yeah.
Is that what you said?
Yeah, someone you feel like was under expectations on Sunday.
Well, I want to see more out of Kayvon Wallace. I want to see him get an opportunity to get out there.
Was he out there, Rob? I didn't see him out there. Was he out there?
Yeah. What was his snap? He had two tackles. I don't know what his snap count is.
I'm worried about that.
Off the top of my head.
I'm worried about that second safety spot right now with McLeod still out.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And I spoke to Rodney last week. I'm hoping he can be back end of the month. Maybe early October, something like that. So I'm hopeful, because he's a guy who's a veteran back there, and they need Rod. Now, I don't know, guys. I don't know what he's going to look like coming off another ACL injury.
Yeah.
You know, you lose a little bit of a step, a quarter of a step, whatever it is, and it's going to be it's something that's going to be significant. But I hope that he's out there and he can get back out there and help them out. Hey, I was just checking. Kayvon was out there for, is that 89%? It looks like 89% of the snaps.
Wow. Well, then that's a good thing, then, because the defense clamped
but
down.
But he underperformed. They have high expectations around him. He needs to really flash more. You're right about that, Rob. I need to see more out of him.
Yeah, you know, I mean, he's out there for 89% of the snaps, and he gets two tackles. But the defense as a whole, after the first two series where the Falcons moved the ball, moved it well,
right,
but they didn't break, and they were able to hold them to field goals. That was a positive, most certainly. And then they shut them down. They really dominated. I thought that Kyle Pitts might have a George Kittle type.
That's what I thought.
Yeah, we were worried about that.
Now you got George Kittle this week. He might have a George Kittle game, but Kyle Pitts did it. So that's a good thing right there. And Calvin Ridley, they shut him down. He's going up. He's on my fantasy football team, but that's okay.
He's a high pick in the PPR leagues.
It's all good, you know. So it's funny. I drafted Aaron Rodgers in the first round in CBS Fantasy Football. That's my league that I'm in.
Yeah.
Gave me a D minus for Aaron Rodgers. I'm going, what? I got a D minus, and then after seeing him on Sunday, I was like, maybe they're on to something.
It was a weird day in fantasy, man. I mean, I have Stephon Diggs, who just had a very below average day. You know, guys like Saquon Barkley draft high, and it just doesn't always pan out initially with these guys in fantasy leagues.
True.
Yeah, it's early. It's early. It's one game. Yeah, I'll take what Aaron Rodgers is over the course of his career coming off an MVP season.
Absolutely.
Then I will week one with all the tumultuous offseason nonsense that he went through. So it was a surprise, but, you know, I'll bet on him again.
Yeah. Real quick, Rob, the national guys like Dan Orlovsky and Chris Sims, they flat out disrespected Jalen Hurts during the offseason. After seeing what you saw on Sunday, does Jalen Hurts deserve an on-air apology from these guys? Or not yet? Well, Is it too soon?
I know Chris Sims didn't have him in the top 40, but I could care less who's top 40. You know, like everybody's got their own list, and I think Philly fans tend to be too sensitive and give guys what they want.
That's like
when
fair.
Somebody puts right? Somebody puts out a list, and it's all about getting drawing clicks to it. And I don't care what, you know, Chris Sims puts out top 40. I didn't think Dan, though. Was Dan critical? Like, I respect.
Well, he was
Dan.
Basically
like,
he said the comparison between Wentz and
he said Hurts. He wouldn't sniff at his best. He wouldn't sniff Carson Wentz level.
He can't sniff as good as Carson Wentz is, and that's just the reality.
That's what he said.
I'm surprised. I know Dan, you know, is a big Carson guy supporter, and rightfully so. He had a tremendous 2017, tremendous end of 2019.
Right.
But I don't know that Jalen. I think Jalen's got upside,
and he showed it in
week one. I don't know if he can maintain that. Here's the thing, guys. Now the team's got a little bit of tape and some film on
exactly
what. On a Nick Sirianni offense. So that's where it's going to be a big challenge.
And not only Kerryon Johnson was signed to the San Francisco practice squad today.
Oh, what about a little gamesmanship?
That's what's going
that's
on there.
Yeah,
we go.
That's a little Belichick move right there. Let's bring in a guy. That's a tremendous move out of San Francisco. Let's bring in a guy who was there.
Yeah.
I don't like it at all.
they lose Raheem Mostert, so it makes sense. Yeah. They got to bring in a running back. But of all the backs out
there,
yes, a little. They dig in a little bit. It makes sense.
Rob, we as always, man, always great to catch up with you and talk birds and talk NFL. And we'll be keeping up with all your work throughout the season, as always.
Definitely talk to you down the line during the season here.
Absolutely,
as the Eagles
guys.
approach a playoff berth,
man.
and a 10-win season.
Guys, I had a 7-10, so I'll gladly take being wrong. I would absolutely
That's
take
awesome.
That for sure.
Sounds good,
all right,
man.
Fellas, have a good one. Enjoy.
Well, Tech, we got to let our listeners know about our joint venture with Last Out Media, Bell and the Birdmen, over at Villa Capri in Doylestown.
I mean, the guys did their thing, and, you know, Francisco Rojas, my guy, was in the building.
He came out. It was a good vibe. You know, we were spinning some fun records, eating some good pizza.
Oh,
and,
yeah.
Those
cheesesteak egg rolls.
Oh, they were phenomenal.
Phenomenal.
And Barchard and Quinn were doing their thing, and, you know, we're there weekly for every Eagles game. So if you want something different for one of these Birds games and sitting at home and watching it, come out. Villa Capri Pizza and Sports Bar in Doylestown. We're there all season long.
Vet Alumni. And now, it's the Vet Line.
Why don't you answer your phone?
Joined now on the Vet Line by John Marks of Marks & Reese on 94 WIP. Catch that weekdays from 2 to 6 p.m. John, thanks for taking the time to talk birds with us tonight.
What's up, dudes?
Well,
What's up?
We're here. We're excited about the birds. Quite a fun game to watch on Sunday. Hurts looked poised and crisp overall. The defense tightened up against a proven veteran quarterback. So, John, what grade do you give Nick Sirianni for his play calling on Sunday? And what's a moment in the game you thought, wow, great call there, or, oh, that was a terrible call?
I mean, it's hard not to say an A, but you also want to say, like, all right, like, it wasn't perfect, right? Like, there's room for improvement. I guess I would go A minus with Nick Sirianni. You know, I think the most impressive, I'll give you the first two things I think of was the first drive where he goes to Quez Watkins three times in a row and very high percentage throws, well executed, gets some yards, takes some of the pressure off. So right away I was like, all right, this is smart, right? But the drive before halftime, under 2 minutes to go, the Eagles are only up 7-6, right? So they have a 1 point lead. It, you know, the final score is much different than where it was right before half. 12 plays, I think it was 62 yards in just under 2 minutes, and it was well managed. There wasn't a lot of time on the clock, but he was able to milk the clock long enough to where Atlanta wasn't getting the ball back. Yeah. And they had 2 seconds left when Jalen Hurts made a great throw to get Dallas Goedert, great throw and catch.
We love that throw.
If not, they get a field goal there. But that was such a big spot in the game because it gave them, you know, now they're up, now, and then they get the 2 point conversion. So now they're up, and then from there it just rolled in the second half.
Yeah, the defense really tightened up after a shaky start. I remember watching and thinking to myself, well, here we go again.
Here we go.
With the defense. But they tightened up. The defensive line looked really good. Much was made, though, of the signing a few weeks ago or so of Gardner Minshew as a backup on the roster. John, after Sunday, is there any doubt for you that Jalen Hurts is the guy, and why or why not?
No, there's not, until he starts playing poorly for a couple games, and then we'll have that talk.
right.
You know what I mean? Like, right now it doesn't seem like there's any doubt, but who the hell knows what happens next week? So the 49ers are a better team. I mean, I'm going to keep it real with you. Like, Matt Ryan's not very good anymore. Their defense isn't very good. Their offensive line isn't very good. Skill guys, I like their running back, but like they got behind in the second half. They gave up on the run. Matt Ryan was spooked. He was getting pressure every time. So, I mean, here's the bottom line. It's still an impressive win because Atlanta's not a good team, but the Eagles weren't supposed to be a good team. It's in their house, and the Eagles went in and took it to them, right? Like, clearly
Big
the
time.
Eagles are the better
Big
team,
time.
And the Eagles look like a good team. So, I mean, from here, it's really – What happens against San Francisco? They're going to make adjustments. They're not going to be, I mean, they're going to, whatever Nick Sirianni did against the Falcons, they're going to be prepared for that and more. So, like, what does Nick Sirianni do? How does he respond? Because we want to make this all about Jalen Hurts, but if Sirianni's clueless, it's going to make it more difficult on Hurts. And so far, so good with Sirianni, and so far, so good with Jalen Hurts, but he's going to have to prove himself every week. And inevitably, if he goes through a little bit of a funk during the season, you'll start to hear about, well, maybe he's not the guy, maybe this, maybe that, but you know, it's his job to win, and that's the cool thing, is that at the end of the season, for better or for worse, the Eagles are going to decide whether or not he deserves another season or they have to try to get somebody else.
Yeah.
John, Howie Roseman, he's been public enemy number one around here the last couple of years, especially on this show. We've roasted his draft picks, but you know, all of a sudden you look around and this team has a lot of good young talent on the roster. Should we be giving Howie a little more credit for what we're seeing so far?
It, you know how weird it is, right? It's just like we were just talking about with Jalen Hurts. Right now, he's the hero of Philadelphia, and he's the next franchise quarterback. And in no time, he could be out of here, and everybody's looking for a new one. Howie Roseman, across from WIP Studios, across the Schuylkill River on 76, like, someone hung a sign that said "Fire Howie" in all orange, so we would have to see it, right?
Like, right.
So, and that was in March,
yeah.
And then eventually somebody took it down, but. I mean, you can't argue with the core on offense right now. Let's look at the offense and let's look at their ages. Jalen Hurts is
23.
Is he 22 or 23?
23.
Gainwell's under 22. Devontae Smith's under 22. Jalen Rager's 22 and under. Miles Sanders at 24 is like the old guy. Dallas Goedert's like 25.
That's great.
Quez Watkins is young. So when you look at the offensive core, and it's actually a pretty good dynamic because you have a veteran offensive line, which, by the way, is much better than having a veteran wide receiving core and a rookie offensive line.
By far.
So you have the youth in the skill positions, and then you have a veteran offensive line, and if they can stay – here's the thing. If they can stay healthy and they can protect Jalen Hurts, they're going to be a playoff team, right? There's enough talent, and Jalen Hurts can do enough with his legs, and they can run the ball. Sirianni has a clue. It's pretty exciting. Now, defense is a different story as far as youth on defense. You still like the defensive line. They're older. You do have a couple – like Josh Sweat's pretty young. Barnett's young, but do you want to re-sign him. And then, like the secondary, you don't really have a whole heck of a lot. You have some veteran guys that are pretty good right now. So he's going to have to build the defense in the future. But, I mean, listen, they missed on Andre Dillard. Jordan Mailata looks like he's going to be a stud. He was a seventh-round pick. Does that balance out? Well, I mean, no. I would like the first-round pick to hit and the seventh-round pick.
Yeah,
but,
yeah.
It does help. It does help. So, yeah, I mean, like I think very quickly what you're seeing is that Howie's done a little bit better than we probably thought, and let's let the season play out. But it looks like that maybe we overreacted just a bit.
Donovan McNabb, who you and Ike are having on your show regularly this season, he was very impressed with what he saw from Jalen Hurts. Does Jalen remind you at all of a young Donovan, like a young five?
Well, I don't know. We were just talking about who he reminds you of.
Yeah.
Donovan was a better athlete. Right, Donovan can make guys miss. If you remember early Donovan McNabb, he had the one move against Washington where he juked one way and Mark Carrier, the safety, went the exact other way.
Yeah.
So we forget how talented Donovan was, especially when he came right out. And as he got a little bit bigger and a little bit older, he lost that elusive nature of him. I don't think Hurts doesn't have the arm that McNabb has, doesn't have as strong of an arm. Donovan wasn't a very accurate quarterback. I think Hurts can be as accurate or more. As far as making those NFL throws, Jalen Hurts' arm's okay. Donovan had a really, really good arm, but if Jalen Hurts is anywhere near the quarterback Donovan McNabb is, we're going to be very happy in this city.
Yeah. Amen to that. Donovan was very underappreciated by this fan base. He is very underappreciated for some of the things he did early in his career with literally nobody around him, but maybe one running back.
Trash and Stinkston. Remember them?
Yeah. Yes.
A lot of it is that he's passive aggressive and he likes to take subtle shots. And I don't know if his personality really meshes with kind of what we are here, but we forget how good Donovan was. And like you said, the years of Darnell Autry and James Thrash and Todd Pinkston and Chad Lewis as their offense. I mean, Donovan was the offense. And then I also think that as Andy Reid and Donovan, as they went, they were together longer. Once Andy Reid got T.O., all he wanted to do was throw the ball. So then it became a vertical offense. And they were better when their defense was good and they were able to run the ball. And Donovan was a good nut, was a good passer. He could make plays with his feet. But then it became all about vertical offense and throwing the ball all the time. And they didn't have the weapons to match what you need. Now Andy has it, and he is the quarterback and the wide receiver in Kansas City, but he just didn't have it here. But, yeah, I mean, Donovan was really good, and I wish we looked at him a little bit differently.
Same. I have a lot of good memories about Donovan's early career. I was starting college at that point, so it was very formative times for me to watch him take the Eagles to that first NFC title game against the Rams, which they actually almost won that game.
Almost.
Man, would that have changed history or what?
Yeah.
That was the same year as the Tuck Rule game with Tom Brady and the Raiders.
Wow.
John,
you alluded to playoffs. Now, do you see them being one of the three wild card teams because they expanded the wild card, or do you see them actually knocking off a team like Dallas for the division?
I would still say that Dallas is the favorite to win the division, but with that said, they always seem to manage to screw it up. I'm week three is big, especially depending on what happens this week.
Yeah, they get LA, they get the Chargers. They get the Chargers.
Right, that's not an easy game.
No.
So if the Cowboys are 0-2 and the Eagles are 2-0. Oh. Next week will be crazy. Oof. But let's get there first. Washington football team I never believed in because I don't believe in their quarterback. And as much as you like their defense and blah, 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 Taylor Heinicke and Ryan Fitzpatrick, if they get into the playoffs, they're not going to be doing it in an impressive manner. And the Giants aren't going to be good this year. So it comes down to me, to the Eagles and the Cowboys.
Yes, you're right on the money with that.
John, Miles Sanders, he had some really good moments on Sunday. Kenny Gainwell also looked good. Seems like Sirianni trusts Kenny G with the ball on third down. Is this a legit duo?
Yeah, I mean, anybody else surprised that Boston Scott didn't even get a touch?
Where was Boston Scott?
It's weird.
I mean, And I'm not even arguing. I'm not even arguing about it because it's pretty clear what they think of Gainwell, right? Which is, he's like our second guy. They trusted him in a 2-minute drill as a rookie. They trusted him in goal line situations as a rookie. He didn't make a mistake. You didn't see him miss a blitz pickup or anything like that.
No.
So it tells you that what they saw out of him in training camp was, this guy can help us from day one. So and it's good for Miles Sanders, too, because to keep him fresh and healthy, probably what you saw out of him on Sunday is exactly what you want, which is like 70, 80 yards rushing, another 40 yards receiving, get on like 15, 16, 17 touches. And if you can use Gainwell to absorb some of those other touches, you're good. You're good. So, I mean, it's all of a sudden they seem deep. They have a couple of running backs. They have two tight ends, and they have this young wide receiving core that has a lot of upside. What the hell happened?
I don't know.
What happened was Howie was right with some of these guys. It's just true. He was right.
I hate to admit it.
I think that it's going to only improve as we go. This was the first round with this quarterback and head coach combo.
Yeah.
John, we really appreciate your insight on the Birds, and as we told our listeners, you co-host with the former Eagles linebacker, Ike Reese, who we all love to watch. He actually played at the Vet for 5 full seasons, to be exact. That said, we are the Vet alumni, and we would be remiss if we didn't ask you to share your favorite Vet memory from a game you attended.
It was the Eagles-Cowboys game, 1995.
Yes, 4th and 1.
I didn't have season tickets that year. I got season tickets in 1998 in section 737 with a row of 10 guys.
Yeah, nice.
And you'd get the sunburn in the September games because you had the sun in your face, and mostly if it was a 1 o'clock game. But in this particular game, and I don't have to tell Vet alumni what it was like in the 700 level of Eagles.
Oh yeah,
game.
Oh boy,
wild, wild west. And but anyway, we were in a bathroom, and it was the bathroom in the 700 level that had the stall that was all the way over to the right, but the ceiling and the wall was like slanted. So if you took a piss from that, you had to either like cock yourself over to the left or stand back. And then the problem was if you went over to the left a little bit, somebody else was right there next to you. But there was a huge line, and the lines in Veterans Stadium in the 700 level where you missed like almost a quarter of action if you had to go to the bathroom.
Terrible.
The worst. And you know how Cowboys games are, and there's this dude in there that is like talking shit, and he's a Cowboy fan. He's yapping. He's like almost by the door waiting to get in.
Yeah.
And a dwarf Eagles fan that was standing over to the left of me a little bit started screaming at him, and they're screaming back and forth. And this dude launched at him and tackled him to where they flew into the sink.
Wow.
And the dwarf was beating him. Other people came in and started beating him too before it got broken up and people scattered.
And then they were all in the courtroom below the Vet.
That's phenomenal.
Nobody. This was pre-Seamus McCaffrey. There was no jail down there.
Oh,
but
wow.
And you know what the crazy part? That's a true story that like really happened. And I saw that year alone. I saw so many Cowboys fans getting beaten. And by the way, they were yapping. It wasn't the quiet guys that were sitting there trying to watch the game.
Their mouth.
It was the guys. Yes, running their mouth, Deion Jersey, Michael Irvin, whatever the jersey is. Yeah, that's how it was.
Wow, man. That is a one-of-a-kind Vet memory. We've got some good ones. Ruben Frank was telling us about the rats in the ceiling and things of that nature. But a dwarf fight
I don't think anything beats that. That takes the cake.
Takes the cake, absolutely. John, thanks again, man. We really appreciate talking to you, and we listen to you guys a lot, and we hope to talk to you again as the Eagles approach the playoffs.
Oh, my pleasure, guys.
Numbers don't lie. Numbers don't lie. You know that the numbers don't lie. Men lie, women lie, numbers don't.
Numbers don't lie. Look at the numbers. The numbers don't lie.
Keeping it real. Keeping it real. Keeping it real. Keeping it real.
Numbers don't lie.
Tech, this week is the anticipated return of our classic Numbers Don't Lie segment.
Yes.
Highlighting remarkable stats from next gen across the NFL and, of course, all the birds' appearances on these lists.
I was looking forward to this all week.
Me too. Here are some birds' numbers and other interesting marks from week one in the NFL. Our guy, Hassan Ridgeway, recorded the 10th fastest sack across the entire league, 3.37 seconds in his takedown of Matt Ryan.
What a great sack.
We're clearly deep on the D-line, who utterly took over the line of scrimmage when the Falcons were trying to play offense. I stress the word trying.
Yeah.
Chandler Jones, though, of Arizona, recorded the fastest sack in week one with a 2.24 second takedown of Ryan Tannehill.
Yes.
Important to note, Tech, no 49ers pass rushers were on this list, for the record.
Well, that's good.
I like the sound of that because that's Jared Goff back there.
Yeah. Oh,
so that's,
yeah.
That's good.
That is
and
good.
And Jalen Hurts is not Jared Goff.
No, he's not.
In terms of mobility. Now, our guy Miles Sanders landed at third on the incredible yards after catch list across the entire league.
Wow.
23 yards over the expected gain on that 25-yard third quarter catch that he had. He made some nice moves. This means, by any logical view, he should, quote, should have been tackled so many yards back, making it, quote, incredible. That's why this metric goes.
Got it.
He trailed only Deebo Samuel and Tyreek Hill in this category.
Wow.
But this is nothing new for Miles, bro. He landed on this top 10 list a year ago, multiple weeks.
Yes, he did.
But I will say, I said it earlier, I'll say it again, Deebo Samuel presents a formidable challenge to poor tacklers.
What a day
and
he had.
And the Eagles definitely have to tighten up in that department. He will make them look stupid.
Yes, he will.
He'll take a five-yard screen, and he'll break tackles and take it to the house.
I'm worried about him, especially with our poor tackle.
Yeah, I've always loved Deebo. I wanted the Eagles to draft Deebo Samuel when he was coming out.
Yeah.
Another next-gen list, which Miles is also very familiar with, is the remarkable rushes category. Same idea as the incredible yak list, but applied only to runs. He landed on this list twice in week one across the whole NFL, coming in at 11th and 15th with a 23-yard rush that gained 18 yards over the expected yardage.
Is that the one with Jason Kelce had that monster
block? I'm pretty sure it's that run,
it was tremendous.
He made a lot of good cuts on that run.
Yep.
And then he had an 18-yarder that gained 13 yards over the expected amount. Believe it or not, Melvin Gordon actually led the NFL in this category.
A tremendous run.
I was watching that live.
Yeah, that was tremendous.
Monster 70-yard run against the hapless New York Giants.
Yo!
He gained 64 yards over the expected total. I love this category, Tech. Guys like Jim Brown, Walter Payton, The Juice,
yeah,
AP would have dominated this category in their prime.
Right.
You know?
Yeah, absolutely.
But I'll say this, Tech. I then went to the improbable completions tab, fully expecting to see Jalen Hurts scramble then touchdown laser play to Dallas Goedert on the list.
Not there?
Wasn't included.
Wow.
A next-gen snub? That was a very improbable completion, man.
It really was.
I mean, overall, he was running out of time towards the sideline.
At first, it didn't even look like a completion.
No.
And then when I got to see it from every angle, it was like, wow. If that wasn't a completion, then there wasn't enough evidence.
The best angle to me was the opposite end behind him, end zone angle straight on.
Yeah, that was...
That angle.
That was just amazing.
You could see how he anticipated the cut.
Yeah.
This category was actually led by none other than Sam Darnold.
What?
With his 27-yard second quarter touchdown pass to DJ Moore, which was assessed at only a 9.1% completion probability. It was the only one in the entire league under 10% that was completed.
Wow.
According to Next Gen.
Yeah.
If Hurts keeps getting snubbed, I'm going to turn my nose to this category a little bit. So Sam Darnold, dude, he got revenge on a team that cut him loose, as did Temple alumni Robbie Anderson on a bomb that he caught from Darnold.
Yeah.
Coming in at number two and number three on this improbable completion list is somehow Tyrod Taylor. Number two and number three. He had a 40-yarder and a 52-yarder, both in the first half, to Brandon Cooks.
Wow.
The man absolutely who got lit up by Malcolm Jenkins in Super Bowl 52, Brandon Cooks, and knocked out the game.
Unbelievable.
Well, Tech, those are the week one marks in the books.
Whew.
Numbers don't lie.
It's time for Prem's Picks.
These games are a blowout, a human lock. You can bet your children's unborn children on these games.
Prem's Picks, we're back with NFL action. And I got to say, last week at Last Out with Barchard and Vince Quinn, I believe that was a little bit of a hex, a jinx.
on the picks.
When you were telling them your percentage, and it was like, oh wow, and then they picked against you, and lo and behold,
well, the Bengals 0-2. You know, not a good start to NFL picks after absolutely dominating the NBA and MLB picks for the offseason.
Yeah.
The Vikings failed to cover the 3 points versus the Bengals, losing an overtime thriller in Cincy, and a game in which they could have easily been in field goal range in the overtime frame to win it. It was an entertaining game, but nonetheless, a loss.
Yeah.
And the Colts lost by 12 to visiting Seattle, cementing why Vegas had them as home dogs to begin with. Wentz played an okay day, but he also fumbled away a possession early, as we're familiar with from him.
Yeah.
And Russell Wilson tossed 4 TDs on a very solid Indy defense.
Oh, yeah. He had a big day, and it was just like I thought last week. Carson does not beat Russell Wilson. He never does.
That's true. So, I'm 0-2 out the chute. Plus, I lost a fantasy game in our league.
Yeah, I'm 0-1
as
well.
I need a solid bounce back in week 2.
I was proposing that we do a whole segment built around fantasy, but when I brought it up to my boy, he said, nobody cares about your fantasy teams.
Yeah, I'll do Twitter updates every week, as you saw. Yeah, I did one today.
Absolutely.
Highlighting the high score, the low score, the best game, and then just an important note that I think needs to be known.
And as long as I keep losing, I don't really care.
Well, you lost to the guy that had the second highest score.
Oh, that's true.
So, you know, you caught a bad break. It happens in fantasy. And my team just underperformed. That's not indicative of what they will be.
Right.
With Stephon Diggs and Josh Allen and these guys.
Yeah.
I mean, just not realistic.
No.
Nevertheless, Tech, I got just what the doctor ordered to get back on track.
All right.
Give me the Buffalo Bills on the road in Miami to cover 4 points as favorites. I think drawing the Steelers in week 1 was a tough hand to be dealt. And offensively, it puts them in a position to explode in the warm Florida weather this Sunday. Stephon Diggs rarely has 2 bad games in a row. We know the Miami secondary is good, but I see in this one Buffalo showing us all why they're the Super Bowl contenders, and Miami showing us why they still have some time yet to be in that same elite category.
Yeah.
Regardless of being at home, it's in Florida, it doesn't matter.
This is a good pick.
Yeah, the Bills will bounce back, and I think -4 is a gimme bet.
Yep.
That's a lock.
Lock.
Next, I'll take another AFC East Week 2 road favorite in a matchup of rookie QBs between the Patriots and the Jets. Give me the Pats. Mac Jones is now the guy in New England, and I think he'll outplay Jets top pick Zach Wilson.
Yeah.
Belichick versus a rookie quarterback. I like my chances to win. It's a 5-point spread. Take the 5 points. A rookie quarterback that struggled to put up 14.
Yeah, the Jets are horrific.
They are. And they struggled to put 14 up against the Panthers on a sunny day in Carolina.
Yeah.
You know, Mac Jones lost to Miami 17-16 for the Pats, but I think he may have a higher ceiling and definitely more of an infrastructure around him to win now than what Zach Wilson has with the Jets. And the Patriots, D is going to pick off Zach Wilson twice, I think.
No.
The 5 points is a gimme. Patriots -5, lock.
Lock.
So to recap, we got the Bills to bounce back from a tough loss to the Steelers in a big way on Miami as 4-point favorites.
Lock.
And the Patriots to handle the Jets in New York after a tough loss to Miami as 5-point road favorites.
Lock.
A week 2, 2-pack of AFC East squads to win on the road.
Yep.
This has been Prem's NFL Picks.
See you next week.
Vet Alumni.